Well, as we continue through the Gospel of Mark this morning, we saw last time how the Lord was with them in the storm, got them through. They were struggling, getting nowhere. Then Jesus lands in the boat. Peter walks on the water to him. They make it to the shore. Amazing story, because he's an amazing God. He's an amazing God. And then we find, as they crossed over the lake, they landed at Gennesaret in Mark 6:53. And there they tied up the boat. And as soon as Jesus and his disciples got out, people recognized him. And they ran through the whole area to bring to him those who were sick. They carried them on mats to where they heard he was. He went into the villages, the towns, and the countryside. Everywhere he went, the people brought the sick to the marketplaces. And those who were sick begged him to let them touch just the edge of his clothes. And all who touched him were healed. Jesus was doing amazing things. And I want you to know something. Jesus is still doing amazing things. He still is. But people miss it. People miss the glory of God. People don't see what God is doing because their eyes are blind. And when we get to the next chapter, in chapter 7, we have the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come down from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they don't eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like washing of cups and pitchers and coppers and vessels and couches. They were very particular about washing. Now, it's not that they were clean freaks or neat freaks. It's because they might have touched a Gentile, somebody who wasn't a Jew, in the process of being in the marketplace, and that means they would be defiled. These were not biblical instructions. These were traditions that they had developed over the years, and they meant the world to them. It was so important to them to make sure that everything was just so on the outside. But there was a radical problem on the inside. You've heard the expression, get real. Have you?
Yeah.
I don't know if they still use that. I mean, we used to use it a lot. Get real, will you? Right? Well, that's my message today. Get real. Why? Because there's a lot of unreality, even in so-called Christianity, where people are focusing on the wrong things, where the wrong things grab their attention. Here was Jesus doing the amazing things, the miracles that he was doing. He was setting captives free. People were coming, the crowds were coming, and they were getting a blessing. These guys come who are so full of religion, and they didn't see any of that. What did they notice? Look at them. They're not washing hands like we do. Oh, how come they're not washing their hands like we are? How come they're not doing the proper things here? To them, what was proper was all outside stuff. It was an inward reality. And what a tragedy that can be. And sometimes, sadly, groups and churches and individuals can get so tied up in their outward ceremonies or the traditions, or how they do church, or what kind of music is played, and what's, and you know, does everything happen just so? And they miss the presence of God altogether. The one who's all over, the one who's all around, the one who's inside, the one who is life itself, gets left behind. And here are these religious rulers with all of their pomp and ceremony and everything else, who come down and the whole place is getting blessed. The whole place is just getting, the Spirit of God is working and crowds are coming and God is blessing. They don't see any of it. They miss the whole thing. Isn't that tragic? They miss the whole thing. God at work is a beautiful thing. And we need to be real on the inside or we'll miss stuff. We'll miss the real important stuff. We'll get nitpicking and we'll miss the realities. Oh, may God grant us grace. May God give to us an open heart to see and to experience and to know the work of God. Lord, we're asking that from you, Father. I'm asking that from you myself, Father. Lord, help us to avoid a critical spirit that doesn't see things the way they really are. Oh, how we need the Spirit of God every hour so that we might see things as they are. This, all they could see were their cups and their pitchers and their copper vessels and their couches and their things and the outward things that they were doing, and they were not seeing the inside. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Why aren't they doing what we do? How come you're not doing things the way we do them?" And Jesus didn't waste any time answering them. He spoke the truth to them. And they needed to hear it because they missed it. It's so incredible when you stop and you look at the blessings that were pouring out, and they were nitpicking about this stuff. It's amazing. "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" These people are missing the real thing. You know, my desire and my passion is that as a church, that we are committed to one another, loving one another, caring for one another, overlooking one another's faults, not in the sense where we don't help people where they need it, but gracious and kind and gentle and loving and reaching the things that matter. The other stuff, it's got to be done, but it's not the central thing. You know, these are the things that matter. And if we miss the real things, we're going to start focusing on other things. And they're going to become so important to us. That person never brought any food today. So what? It's fine. Look, if nobody brought any food, we'd still feast on the Lord, right? It doesn't matter. Yes, things need to be moved along and all those kinds, but do not allow those things to grow and to infect your mind and then miss the real blessings of God. Look at Jesus. Look at the Lord. See what he's doing, or you'll miss it. "Boy, their hearts were far from God." He said, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Now, you know that Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah. He said, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? You guys have missed the boat. You're looking at the wrong stuff. You say you're worshiping me, but your mind is somewhere else. Your teaching is doctrines, the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." It's substitution. And I'll tell you what. A lot of Christianity can move in this direction where we substitute the things that God has called us to do, and we have a whole new set of stuff that we come up with, and we leave aside what God says, and then we end up with a shell. We end up with an outward form of religion. We end up with lots of ceremony, but no heart. We end up with the external and no internal. In Isaiah 29:13, "Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men, not the commandments of God." When people are in that situation, it's not from the Lord. And so they might have a fear of God, but it's not a fear of God because of who God really is. It's not an understanding of God's grace and his mercy. It's not an understanding of that. It's an understanding that's warped because it's the commandments of men. Because it's not God's word, it's man's word. And so religions can construct a whole edifice with commands and ceremonies and everything all surrounding it. And all of that can keep people from the living God. The Pharisees had it all like that, but they missed the living God. Here was Jesus himself, the creator of the universe, was standing in front of them, and they were talking about washing pots. Imagine. And they didn't see who he was. The miraculous things that were happening. So Jesus says to them, "Get real, will you? Get real. Take a good look at what you've done. You've walked away from the word of God, and you've moved into religious practices that have nothing to do with it. And you think these are the important things. They need to be shed. And we need to move in the direction where Christ is all. He said, all too well, you reject the commandment of God so that you can keep your traditions. You will, if there's a choice, you're going to keep the tradition and you'll reject the word of God. And this happens, friends. It does. Where people are in bondage and they have no understanding that this is what God says. Whatever God says is a blessing. Amen? It's a real blessing. And so we need to treasure the word of God. Friends, we need to keep the Word of God central in our lives, central in our prayers, central in our church. The truths of God are the only things that make a difference. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so all this other stuff, it's not the issue. Of course, you're going to do things. So here we sing a lot of songs. Some churches, they only sing a couple of songs, right? So that's fine. If they do that, we do this. It's not like, okay, now we have a new rule. You have to sing this many songs or else you're not really a Christian church, right? Or, you know, oh, well, I preach. When I preach, I like to have the scripture up on the wall. Oh, this is the new rule. Any preacher that comes, they got to have the scripture on the wall. No, of course not. That's not the issue. The issue is that the Spirit of God is speaking into our hearts and we're hearing him and we're responding to him from the truths that are written in the word of God, which we know are true without doubt. That's the real issue. To live and walk in the Spirit of God. To be open to what God has to say and say, Lord, do your first. Here's how far it was going. You say this, or for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. That's pretty plain. Don't mess around. Treat your parents with respect. Isn't that what it says? Yep. Get that one? But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban. Korban means that is a gift to God. So the Pharisees would say, you know, we're supposed to honor our father and mother, but I'm serving the Lord here. Because I'm serving the Lord, I can't help you. You see, the Lord is first. Oh, the Lord is first. But it was all hypocrisy. What was it really? It was neglect of their parent. They were teaching this. You know, you got to put, and it's true you put God first. But if you put God first, what are you going to do with your parents? You're going to love them. You're going to help them. You're going to respect them. You're going to make sure they're looked after and provided for. But Jesus was looking around and he was seeing parents being totally neglected, supposedly in the name of God. There was something radically wrong there. You see, the Pharisees were the recipient of other people's monies. And that's a dangerous place to be. It's a very careful place to be. Oh, to handle other people's money is a very, very... it's a serious responsibility. Because that represents their time, their energy. It represents what they've done with their lives. And it needs to be treated with great care and great respect. But they just wanted more of it. So they were teaching people, give it to God. Give it to God, right? But it wasn't giving it to God. It was give it to me. Give it to us. You know, your parents, God will look after them. You just look after giving to God. Do you understand what was going on? Do you see where their hearts really were? They were full of greed and pride. And they didn't care about people being broken and hurt. They didn't care that parents were being neglected by their own children. They didn't care about that. And this, he stands them up to it. Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you handed down, and many such things you do. Jesus hit the nail right on the head. He exposed what was going on. He exposed that this deadness that they had, this lifelessness that they had, was because they had turned away from the truth of the word of God. We need the Lord, friends. Oh, that we could grow and go in such a way that our hearts will be full of the Spirit of the living God. That we will watch what we say. These Pharisees came and they opened their big mouth and they had lots to say. But it was useless stuff. That we'd be careful how we observe things. Careful what we do. Pray through situations. Pray them through. Check with the Lord. Say, Spirit of God, show me what to do in these situations. Or look for advice in those situations. Because a lot of times, it's really hard to undo stuff, isn't it? It's a lot easier not to do it in the first place than to try to undo it. Isn't that true? It is. And so, we don't want to drift in this direction, friends. Sometimes we'll do things differently in church. So what? Go along with that. As long as the truths of the Word of God are being proclaimed, as long as Jesus Christ is being glorified, and we're living according to the Word of God. Otherwise, we're not going to be real. And oh, how we need reality in our world. So then Jesus called all the multitude himself, and he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him." Why did he say that? Why did he say this statement? Help. Anybody?
It's what you do on the inside. Though.
Why did he say that? What's that?
It's what
okay, but why did he say it?
Kind of like everything God makes is good, but we have the potential to take that and twist it.
Okay, but why did he say it? Everything he said was true. What did we just look at? What were the Pharisees doing? They were challenging people. They were concerned about the outside, right? Isn't that what we just saw? They were all tied up about the outside. Oh, you're eating with unwashed hands. They were all concerned about, now I'm not talking about hygiene, okay? I know, you wash your hands, okay? That's not what I'm talking about, right? But the Pharisees were all in knots about the outside, thinking that if they took the wrong thing, if they touched the wrong thing, they'd be defiled. So this is what he's saying here, right? He says, there's nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him. He's talking about spiritual defilement. We know you can get germs, okay, but that's not what he's talking about. But the things which come out of him, these are the things that defile a man. He's saying, you're missing the main thing. The Pharisees were, and now he's addressing everybody. He says, okay, listen, everybody, we got to set the record straight here. We've got to do a reset on what you think is defiling, what you think is wrong, and what you think is right. If you think that by whatever ceremony you do, that that's going to cleanse, cause you to be clean on the inside, forget it. If you think just, well, what if you come to a church? Oh, I go to a Christian church. I do all the things that everybody else does. That doesn't matter. That's not going to make you holy on the inside. Holiness on the inside comes from the power of the Spirit of God. And it has to come from the inside out, not from the outside in. It's God working in us that causes holiness to happen, righteousness to happen. And so he says, well, real defilement doesn't come from external things. Here's what they were doing. In Matthew 23:23, he said, Jesus, he had a really long speech for them here. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and these are spices, the smallest spices." Now, the Pharisees were very particular. If they got a certain amount of spice, and a lot of times people who gave stuff gave, they didn't have money, they gave their produce. So they would receive some mint, some anise, and some cumin, very small spices, right? And they would take a tenth of that and give it to God. Because you're supposed to give a tenth in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament law. By the way, the New Testament doesn't specifically say to give a tenth of your income, but I don't know. I just love to give because I find the more they give, the more God brings back. But anyway, he said, you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and you neglected the weightier matters of the law. You're so particular about what you're doing, and he said, and they are justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides. And then he uses some of his humor. You strain at a gnat. That's a small little fly. You know, the no-see-ums. You strain at a gnat, but you swallow a camel. Now, That's actually what they did do. Before they drank anything, they put it through filters to make sure there were no bugs in there. Now, I know nobody wants to drink a bug, right? But that wasn't the issue. It was, if I drink this bug, I'll be unclean. Spiritually, I'll be unclean if I drink this bug. So I got to make sure, I got to be so particular about all this. And here they were. They were so particular, so fussy about all these little nitpicking things. And they were just completely off course on the inside. So God wants you to be real, friends. And he wants you to be real on the inside. He wants you to be transformed from within. He doesn't want hypocrisy. What did he say? You hypocrites. You have an outward face like Lammy today, right? God doesn't want that. He wants reality, and he wants you to experience the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life. In the book of Micah, and the Lord was referring to this passage in Micah 6:6, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He says, what offering can I bring to God? What is it that God wants? What is it that God will accept from me? He has shown you, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. Outward religion does not please God. Inward heart reality. That's what God is looking for in your life and mine. And so, Jesus in his teaching says here, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear, Mark 7:16. And when he entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you still without understanding also? Do you not perceive whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him? Because it doesn't enter his heart, but his stomach, and it's eliminated, thus purifying all foods. He says, food is not the issue here, he says. You eat the food, it goes through you, it goes out the other end. That's what he's saying, right? Yeah. Biology 101. He said, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries. Now he's talking about the wrong stuff. Fornication, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a man. So if you're going to work on anything, these are the things to work on, right? Lord, the psalmist said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and try me. Know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. And what a wonderful prayer that is. And then he says, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me forward. Oh, friends, even this morning, let's ask the Lord. Lord, just show me, Lord, if I'm harboring bitterness or sin in my soul, in my heart, in my life, show me, Lord, that I might, Lord, lay it at your feet and ask your forgiveness. Because there's forgiveness, there's mercy, there's grace, there's the blood of Jesus shed for sin. We don't have to harbor anything against anyone. We don't have to live with those kinds of things. We want reality. We want to get real with God and get real with one another. So, Father, we ask you to do these works in our own souls, even today, Lord, that we might rise up and we might go forward serving the Lord, that it will not be an outward show of religion, but an inward reality of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Have that your way, Lord, in these things, we pray. That we will not get caught up in the externals. We'll not get focused on that which is not the center, but you, Lord. And a walk with you, and a holy walk with you. Because that was what you've called us to. So Jesus said, or Paul wrote in Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Why? Because in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him, who is the head of all principalities and powers. One of the things that was happening to the New Testament churches is that people were coming along and they were saying, oh, you got to do this. Oh, you have to do that. Oh, no, you have to go this way. You have to do this. All external things, thinking somehow that these external things were going to bring a blessing and make them holy. They won't make you holy. What makes you holy is God. And matter of fact, because God is so holy and so amazing, and Christ comes to live in you, you're filled up in Him. That's what it says here. You're complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Don't go looking somewhere else. You're complete in Christ. Christ is your completeness. Christ is your all. He's in all. The kingdom of God is not these things. Don't let anybody judge you in food or drink regarding festivals or new moons or Sabbaths. They're just a shadow of things to come, but the real substance is Christ. Those external things, all the Old Testament rules and regulations, those things were only shadows. They only had a purpose of giving us a shadowed picture of the real substance, which is Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to live in the shadows. We can live in the light. We have the fullness of Jesus Christ here. We have Him now. We're complete in Him. We're filled up in Him. So let's follow Him. Let's live in Him. Let's let Him live in us. And then we live in the light and the glory of God. And our Christianity is not made up of religious rules and regulations, but it's a living and loving relationship with Jesus Christ, where there is righteousness, where there is peace, and where there's joy in the Holy Spirit. In Romans 14:17, it says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. That's what he does. That's real Christianity. We don't want the empty shell. Some of us have lived in those empty shells, and we know what it's like. It's death. You're better off, in a sense, when God said, Jesus said, I'd rather you hot or I'd rather you cold. That somewhere in the middle is such an empty shell, because you have a form, but you don't really know who He is. Form of godliness, but you don't have the power. There's nothing there. Oh, may the Lord cause us to live in the fullness of this walk with God, that we have the reality of it. Because there's life there. There's always life in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for our time together today. Thank you, Lord, that we have Christ. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we don't have to chase after things that are dead, in a sense, Lord. But we serve the living God. And we have a living Savior. And we bless your name for it, Father. We are so thankful, and we pray, Father, that you will bless our food and our fellowship, and Lord, just cause us to live renewed every moment in the power and the presence and the person of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.